Okay, everybody, I'm going to call the North Bonneville City Council meeting to order. It's March 10th, 2020. It's 7 o'clock, and I'll ask the your new tag there again. I'll see how I call roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for that. And if I can ask everybody to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, our nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Somebody might have been me. I'm not saying it wasn't. It really could have been.
All right. Moving on.
Somebody forgot the pledge.
Agenda changes and additions. Do we have any?
Yes. Okay. I'd like to excuse counselors.
John Atkin. Okay, we'll put
John
that.
Atkin.
I think Margie's coming, but John won't be here, so we'll put that under. Or we'll put that first on our new business. Is that good enough?
Yep.
John and Margie, if she doesn't show.
Margie is here.
Is there a good show that Margie is here? At 7:02, I think. Hi, Margie.
7:01.
Sorry.
7:01.
Excuse me. Moving forward. The other thing is, Chief's going to do a guest presentation, and then I've been asked, and we're going to allow Liz Green from the PUD. She'll get up after and speak after Chief talks about the coronavirus. Any other
changes and additions? Everybody good with that?
Good.
Okay, moving on. Consent agenda. Approval of the February 25th meeting minutes. Approval of March 1st. Half vouchers in the sum of $19,302.10.
I make a motion to approve February 25th meeting minutes and the approval of March 1st half vouchers for the sum of $19,302.10.
I second that.
Thank you, Terry. Any questions? Any no questions? So vote, please.
Yes.
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 Thank you for that. Guest presentation. Chief Bell's going to talk a little bit about the emergency operations seminar, which we'll be conducting. Well, we won't be conducting, but we'll be part of for the coronavirus. It's for emergency service preparedness. Chief Bell.
So on March 19th, here between 6 and 7, EOC is going to be coming, and we're going to be doing a meeting to update the mitigation for hazards in the county. So floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, all the different stuff that they deal with up there. I've had some questions about what we as a fire department would do about this coronavirus. And there's only two orders that we give in town. It's an evacuation order and it's a shelter in place order, and those are all just suggestions. We can't make anybody do anything. With the COVID-19, if it went to a serious pandemic, the county would take over, and from the county would go to state and then federal government. At this point, it seems like in China, 70% of the people that had it have now been released from the hospital or they're clear. So hopefully this just ends up getting taken care of. It could be a while until that's handled. But for now, the best thing is just staying away from big gatherings, wash your hands, don't touch your face, just the regular precautions for not spreading colds and flu, stuff like that. But we just at the fire department don't have the ability to be able to deal with it. We would just be one of the parts of the big picture. So, sorry, I don't have any more information than that, but it seems to be okay for now. So, I know that there's one case in Clark County, but I think that's still a presumed case. I don't know if they came back with a positive test yet. So, but I suggest that everybody should come down on the 19th, and I was going to see about having it Facebook Live so people that don't want to come down can watch it. But getting the hazard mitigation plan updated is pretty important, so I hope to see some of you coming down. So,
and Chief, that's between 6 and 7?
Between 6 and 7 on the 19th.
And who's doing that?
That's EOC.
EOC, thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
Any questions?
Yeah. Is it the week of the 19th?
That is a Thursday. Okay.
If there is an outbreak, I dread the thought of wearing a mask, but are you able to get some good quality stuff over somebody like individual?
At this point right now, it would be a financial thing, and also everybody has panicked and has bought everything, and some places are having problems even ordering it.
Yeah, Home Depot's completely out.
I would suggest going out to your garage, checking to see if you have any in your stuff, and if you do, take them, set them aside, and keep them. But they were saying that for people that don't have it, that's for people that have it, so if they cough,
they can change
it. Doesn't get on you.
Oh.
And for the workers that are doing the actual medical work.
6 feet away.
Yeah.
We're all too close in proximity. Outside, 6 feet, 6 to 8 feet.
And a lot is just upping the amount of times that you're wiping stuff down, you know. So, hand sanitizer.
Make your own.
You can make your own aloe and 90%.
Even 70%, the isopropyl.
So,
it looks like someone else.
But for right now, it seems like everything's going to be fine, but it's one of those things where you never know. So,
an update on the city. Every day we put out on the counter there, we get an update from the CDC through our Jamie Herrera Butler. She sends us something every day, and it's updated every day, so we have that. We've got a schedule. We're wiping down all the door handles, all the light switches. We're going to wipe all this down after a meeting, but we wipe it down 4 times a day unless there's a lot of traffic. And on the days of the library open, we wipe it down more, but we wipe down all the handles. We have some antibacterial. There's a cleaning schedule over there, and we're initialing as we're doing it to try to keep everybody safe. But just like Chief said, you know, you read all this, and they're just telling us, some tell you don't panic. Others tell you panic. So we're just going to have to play this thing by ear and see what happens and just try to keep everybody as safe as we can.
And in 14 days of not knowing whether or not you have you're even sick or not, you know, up to 14 days, you know, that's a lot of, you know, a lot of spreading around. The normal flu is like 3 days of incubation, and then you actually start coming through with some sort of symptoms. But yeah, 14 days, that gives you a lot of time to spread it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I asked, is there anything else we could do? And the Department of Health for Washington sent me a bunch of forms, which are online. And they said, what you can do is have these there and have people that don't feel good come in and get them. And I said, I don't think so. I'm not going to do that. I'd rather just refer them to the website. You can do your own, get your own off the website. So that I'm not going to do. We won't do that. But we can refer people to where to go if you start feeling sick and what websites to go to. Great.
One of the things that requires an N19 mask, which is not your everyday mask that you buy at Home Depot. That's what we use for dust particles, large dust particles, not micro. And also, if you have a beer like myself, that doesn't really fit. You're going to have to change your mask if you want to wear a mask.
Well, this country has beat a lot of viruses, and I think we're probably, I don't want to sound like, but I think we're going to probably beat this one out, but we'll just take the precautions and do what's necessary, keep people informed as we hear things.
Okay, and on a second note, tomorrow the fire department is going to look like a circus, so just so everybody knows, there'll be trucks and porta tanks and hoses running everywhere because we're doing our biannual pump testing on the trucks, so don't worry about that. It's going to be a mess for the day, and then they'll have it all cleaned up by the evening time. So, okay.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
Okay, up next, Liz Green. Liz Green, she's with the PD. She's the president of the board?
President of the board.
Board, okay, and she'd like to address council.
Well, Travis came to our meeting on Tuesday, and I thank you for that. I don't know if you got my note.
No.
An email? I sent it to your city email.
Oh, the city email. Oh,
okay, yeah. I'll check it.
So, we spent quite a bit of time going through some of the things that Travis had heard about, and I didn't know at the time, Travis, that there was a recording of that. So I found out about that, and I listened to it. And there's a lot of things that you said in that recording of the last meeting that are just not right, and I want to kind of set the record straight, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, first of all, I have to say that it's been a couple months. We've had some anonymous letters go out to the public via Facebook. And that bothers me, that the people making accusations against the PUP won't sign their name. But it also bothers me that Facebook, social media being what it is, it can just go on and on and on, and it just gets worse. So I just want to set something straight, that what Travis said, and I think he got some of the information from there's a website that he mentions, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So first of all, one of the first things the other thing too, and I don't know, our attorney always tells us to less is more in the minutes, but the minutes that you approved, you know, three lines, you know, Travis was talking for over 12 minutes, and there was a lot there, so I don't know what your attorney tells you to do in terms of the minutes, but I just want to point that out. So the first thing is, and it was said several times, that these rate hikes are outrageous. My husband would completely agree. He opened our electric bill and he said, "What is going on?"
It's just a start.
Yeah. So, what we had to do is, well, one of the things in one of the anonymous letters is that the basic fee has changed since 1938, and that's not true. It has changed a little bit. So I actually think that is a good point. That didn't change. And when you run the $8.46 through a inflation calculator, inflation being what it is, it would be $154 now if they had kept up with inflation. So what we did as a board and at the utilities, we wanted to do a true cost of service. We wanted to figure out how all the things that go into giving the power to your house, how much does it cost? And how can we best capture that cost fairly and equitably? So we hired a firm that did that cost of service, and it took them several months. And a note, Dan Boys is here, another commissioner, and so we are at quorum, and we advertised that we would be here, so we're following the rules. So when we got the cost of service study back from this firm, it just made me sick, because in looking at where we were and our system plans and what we needed to do to keep the system running properly, it was going to be a big increase in your rates, my rates, the utility rates. And so we really looked at it. Dan doesn't like debt, so he wanted to go no debt, but that, we're like, we can't do that because then the rates would be super high. None of us wanted to go into more debt, so we tried to get a middle-of-the-road approach. And so that's what we did. And so our rate hikes, I shouldn't even say hikes, but the rate increases are based on a lot of study. And, you know, I opened up the packet when we got it, and I just like, oh my gosh. Because I'm thinking about people like Travis had mentioned, fixed income, low income people. It really hits hard. And then my in-laws live in Underwood, where we had to increase the water rates too, so they were going to get a double whammy. So it was not without pain that we raised the hikes and made the rate increases and set a schedule for the next few years. So they are based on a true cost of service, and one of the things that was said is that the residential ratepayer was subsidizing the industrial. And actually, when you look at the facts, industrial was subsidizing the residential for a long time. And so we cleaned that up so everybody's paying their equitable rate. So some of the things that were mentioned was that the rates would go from, and I don't understand this, so I'm going to just read it. Within four years, rates go from $1.25 per kilowatt during peak hours. They set the hours. I'm assuming you meant the PUD.
Yep.
To $4.40 kilowatt. We don't even have peak hours anymore. So that's...
But not yet. That's what the smart meters when they come in.
We don't have peak hours billing. We have to. We don't even get peak hours from Bonneville at this point. So that's not something that we're even dealing with. So, and I want to talk about smart meters in a minute. So you mentioned, Travis, that the rates were killing nonprofits, people on fixed incomes and low incomes. If you hear people, you tell them to call us. Tell them to come and talk to us. We have some programs for low-income seniors and people with disability. And I haven't heard of a nonprofit being killed because of the rates. So, you know, if you guys hear that kind of information, let the PUD know. Let your commissioners know. That's what we're supposed to be dealing with. Travis did say at the last meeting to show up at the PUD meetings. Please do. We had a great conversation with Travis. We don't get audience participation hardly at all, and we welcome that. And in fact, I would say that when the rate increases happened, the front office staff was getting a lot of calls, and we said, have them call us, send them on to us, and we took a lot of those calls. That's just what we're supposed to do as public servants. So one of the things, though, that you got correct was the meetings are on the first and third Tuesdays.
Perfect.
At 9 o'clock. But
9 a.m.
You mentioned that it was not a convenient time to let people speak. And it's my understanding that evening meetings have been tried in the past. And Ken, maybe you remember if you were there. If they tried that, but it wasn't successful. We didn't have people show up.
Well, like you brought up, the overtime that you're paying the staff for nobody to show up anyway was...
Right.
I get it.
And having it during the day allows us, if something comes up in a conversation, we can say, why don't we just go get the mechanic and ask him? Or, you know, John can call Gary in or the water people. So it worked out really well. But having said that, we did have our rate hearings in the evenings, and the Underwood meeting was fairly well attended. They usually come pretty out in force. The Carson meeting had a handful of people, and on the west side there was no one. So that's happened 2 years, just two times in a row. So one of the things, though, because of those complaints, we really recognize that we need to communicate better, and I don't know how you guys do it, but we're trying to send out more things on Facebook and our web page. So, in fact, I'd like to mention our webpage. We put up a frequently asked questions section that really has a lot of good information on it for people to use. But we really do welcome attendance and public comments. We're not trying to do anything under cover of darkness. One of the things that the rumor had it is that we were going into executive session where we're telling the public they have to leave the meeting. We're not following Robert's rules, we're doing what we want, and that we've said two times that we don't care what people want. That's just utterly false. Since the end of 2016, we had a couple lawsuits going on, and they were cleaned up and finished by 2016, thank God. And but since then, I think we may have had one or two executive sessions regarding collective bargaining. That's legitimate, but we've never asked anybody to leave. We leave the room, you know, announce the executive session, follow all the rules. And I can't even remember anything else. Sam, do you remember anything, John?
We discussed my compensation one last year.
Yeah, the manager's review can be in the executive session if he wishes. So, so I just want to say, as an elected commissioner, my whole purpose is to keep the utility financially stable and provide reliable and equitably cost-based service. And I think we're doing a pretty good job. So Having said that, if you don't think so, come to our meetings and tell us and find out the truth. Three times Travis mentioned there's a lot of shady stuff going on. I'm not aware of it. So if there is shady stuff going on, I need to know about it. And if you think I'm doing the shady stuff, you need to tell somebody else about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we want to be transparent. And the other thing that I wanted to stress tonight, just to get this out there, is that it was said that, you know, what Travis had heard and reported to you last time was that the manager hired a company to contract all this work, millions and millions of dollars. And I transcribed this, so I'm reading verbatim here. Millions and millions of dollars for them, the company, but did he give out free bids or any information for other companies to do an accurate bid? This is outrageous. I don't want to reprimand you, but I'm going to. Because that statement in public without getting the facts is, to me, when I heard it, I was just like, that. It maligns the integrity of the general manager and makes him look irresponsible. So I think that it's important that you know about that contract, that agreement. The general manager, and John, you can jump in anytime. They went through a process of vetting three companies and found the one hired to be the best fit. The company selected was also a state vetted company, so technically the general manager didn't even have to because it was in the state roster. But he did his due diligence and he had the staff in there with him. He happened to have first-hand knowledge of that company because in the past had worked for them. And he was also let go by them, from what I understand. So there's no love lost, but John knew the work that they did, and they ended up being the best company. So I have no doubts about his integrity in that situation. I think he did his due diligence, and the staff was involved in that as well. So this last section, I don't know how far you want me to go in it, but there's a lot of talk out there about smart meters. And some of the things that was said was signal the main hub every 12 seconds, so it puts out 21% more radiation than your smartphone, uses all the electrical current in your home, dispersing it like a microwave. I don't even know what that would even look like. I don't know I'm not an engineer.
We've already class actions against the 5Gs.
Now, okay, I understand that. So what we're doing is... Well, first of all, from my perspective as an individual, not as the board, is that I have found most information the current information that I read seems to indicate that the smart meters emit far less radio frequency than most other sources in your home, particularly your cell phone. I am not saying that smart meters are safe. We don't know that yet. But in terms of the radio frequencies, you know, I was reading about smartphones today, and almost every website that's talking about smartphones suggests that it's better not to have them near your body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where do we put them? Mm-hmm. Right next to our brain. So I find that kind of ironic. But that doesn't lessen the concern about smart meters. We are researching smart meters. They might not even work in our utility. We're trying to get information about them. We would not be transmitting every 12 seconds. We're thinking about transmitting, you know, 2 or 4 times a day. So there's a lot of misinformation about smart meters, but I think there's some genuine concern.
Well, they can transmit as many times as you feel necessary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they can do up to one transmission every 12 seconds or so.
Well, I think it's even more than that.
Every
5 seconds if you want it. So the point being is that we just don't know. And even if we do smart meters, it's not going to be for several years. So we have plenty of time to vet this, plenty of time to hear from people. Because you have a lot of people in this, we have a lot of people in this county that are very concerned about it, and they're finding out information and sending the information. Dan probably is getting information. I don't know if Sean is. And we want to know what's best for our ratepayers. I'm a ratepayer too. I'm going to have one of those smart meters at my house if we get them. So I think we need to be careful with the information that we send out about those. I actually have a little bit of concern about privacy issues.
I've heard the same from other people in town.
You know, I don't want to be a collector of information. I don't want to know when you turn on your hot tub. I don't want to know when you wash your clothes or your dishes. So I think that we have to really look at this, and we are. And then the last thing I have to address, because it's just so outrageous, is that we get free trucks from the Clark People's Utility District. Clark PUD does not give anybody anything for free.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly wouldn't... Well, first of all, it would be illegal to take it without a lot of finagling, I guess. And the other thing is Clark PUD is huge. They wear out their equipment. They don't sell it to anybody else. And I just don't want the fact that somebody thinks we got free equipment from Clark is...
Well, what if the employees said that they, whether it was free or whatever, you guys get their trucks for them from next to nothing, and he was told from his employers not to get involved, and he lives in Skamania County.
So one of the things when people tell me stuff, I always say, Travis, can I use your name as a reference? If you tell me something, and I would suggest that we all do that.
Mm-hmm.
When you get information, just say, can I use your name as a reference? And usually people are like, oh, I don't know if I want my name attached to that. You know, and then that gives you a chance to look at stuff. But I do appreciate, Travis, that you came to the meeting and got some answers. And I hope that you will share the truth with your constituents. Because what you said is on the record. It's
mm-hmm.
It's in a format that, you know, isn't going to go anywhere. And people are going to hear it. It's an easy click of the button on the computer. So I would appreciate it if you would maybe recant some of the statements that you made, or all of it, and give the PUD a clean bill of health. I thank you, Travis, for inviting us here tonight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I appreciate you coming.
Did you guys have anything that you wanted to add?
Liz, if I may?
Yeah.
So I don't like rate hikes either. I don't think anybody does. But I will tell you one thing. Before this was brought out here,
mm-hmm.
I had people coming into my office, and I followed this whole thing, and it was last year. I saw where the meeting up on was, there was nobody showed up, and there was a few here and there. But it was publicly, people were notified that this was going on, and there was these things. And then a year later, we're complaining about something that was, I think it was in January 20th or whatever it was, that it was pushed forward after those things, March or whatever. So I was a little surprised when people were thinking, because we're kind of, it's already been done, and we had a time to go in and voice our opinions. But
yes, you're right. The cost of service was done in 2018, and our first year of increases was 2019.
It was.
So we're on our second year.
That's right. That's what our thing is. Most folks know this isn't the first year. It started last year. And it's a five-year? It's a five-year?
Yeah, 2024 is the last.
Okay. Yeah. So and all that, the whole, everything's online. I mean, you can follow every meeting and whatever. And the last thing to address the minutes, because we have the audio that we put out, so these are just the only minutes we have. So we do have an audio online that is a little bit more in-depth.
It's very in-depth. I listen to it.
I mean, it's the whole meeting.
I know. It's very interesting.
Transparency.
Well, I think that's very important. The other thing to remember about the CUD is you, as ratepayers, and myself, you have an opportunity to change the board every 2 years. Because every 2 years, one of us commissioners is up for re-election. So if you're unsatisfied, that is one of the mechanisms that you have to work with. So I just encourage you to ask questions, to call us. That's what my job is all about, is finding out information for people. And I can tell you, because of the virus, our association meetings next week are canceled, and I can't say that I'm sorry about that, because I've been traveling quite a bit lately. But we've been working closely with our representatives and our senator about some of the issues going on in the state regarding costs. And the Clean Energy Transformation Act, I would encourage you to look it up, see what the governor's proposing, because it is going to affect power costs. And things like the Snake River Dam, he was trying to remove them, that all affects power costs. And we buy all of our power from Bonneville. And one of the things that we get so often is, you know, especially you guys, because you're right next to the dam. It's like, why is our electricity cost so much when it's right there? Mm-hmm. Well, that's where it's generated, and then it just gets, you know, sold to the PUD. And it is frustrating, because I tell people, yeah, Dominion County is right next to Bonneville Dam. And then they go, oh, that must be great. Well, no, it's irritating, because we still have high costs. Before I forget, our staff has been working really hard. I see Kelly here, and she's done a lot of hard work, and we have some frequently asked questions now on our website. We're really taking it seriously, trying to communicate with people. And we'll be putting more on there. We also are putting on, and I don't know if it's up yet, the rate.
Yeah, hoping at the end of this week we'll have a rate calculator on there where you can plug in your amount of kilowatt hour you use per month and over. Show what it would cost here in this county. It will show what it costs in Clark. It will cost in Clickattack and what it costs up in Seattle City Lights. Because some of them have lower base rates, but they make up for it elsewhere. When you plug into Seattle and you'll love it. Mm-hmm. And they look really cheap, you know, like $10 for the base rate, but they start off at 9.9 cents per kilowatt hour and hit north from there once you're over 300 watts. So it's just how you slice the ball, and at the end of the day, it costs, and we're right in there with the lower end of the cost compared to some of the real bet guys. And privately owned ones such as PG&E, I ran a chart which I showed them that in the last 19 years, we left $73 million on the table. We charged $73 million less over the last 19 years. My friends across there in Portland pay for cinema power. See, one of the rates have to go up, plus, as Liz pointed out, somebody said, why has it been flat in 38? Well, okay, let's go to 154. And, by the way, let's take the KWH cost in and inflate that. We're selling a deal here. And to come back and say there's some shady stuff going on, that really offended me personally, because I like, you know, if you want to prove it, please prove it. Because it's really shady. We have millions of dollars in contracts. We did a little one with, through the state to McKinstry, and we have our little small consulting firms, engineers we use, that's it. And we have never had anybody give us a truck. I bought two used trucks to save money. One of them I bought from North Wasco, and the other one I bought from a little utility in Navajo, or a Indian utility down in Chandler, Arizona, to save money. Otherwise, we'd buy new stuff.
He actually saved us a ton of money by doing that.
So it was $60,000 instead of $300,000. And yeah, so we're trying to...
Looking for efficiency.
Well, and on top of that, nobody's ever gotten a grant like we've brought.
Yeah, you've heard of the grant.
Very good. Yeah, that's very good.
The first one in the state like it.
Very good. That's going to help this county.
You've got to remember that grant money is never free.
No, it isn't.
You guys know that.
We know that.
So we
call it vandalism money.
Well, I would definitely say that. You can say that.
I did.
That's not that I'm just so agreeing right with you. So, bottom line is, I just would encourage you and for you to tell your constituents if they have questions about the PD, call the PD, call your commissioners, bug us, and we'll answer questions.
Ma'am, what's your website?
DominionPUD.com.
And then we'll find the stuff that the gentleman was talking about.
The frequently asked questions, and there should be a rate calculator by the end of the
week.
One of the things, too, about comparing to other utilities, Clark PUD has 203,000 customers. We have under 6,000.
Okay.
We have the same cost, though. They have the density, but we have the line miles and poles and wires and trucks all cost the same. So we're splitting our costs between a very small number of people. Thank you.
Liz, thank you. John, thank you. And I'm glad you cleared up about the free trucks, because we had to buy the truck we got from you. No, we got a good deal, though. It was a good deal. I'm not saying it's a great truck, so no, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all the PUD for people being here and supporting and clearing the air.
Thank you. And again, thank you, Travis.
No, thank you, guys.
I'll come back again.
No, I will. And I appreciate you guys clearing up the questions and concerns that I had.
Yeah.
And so at this meeting, basically, you basically took the words out of my mouth already during my counselor comments, was to rectify everything you had.
Oh, good.
You had just already clarified. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everybody. Okay, we will move on. That was enlightening. Thank you. Thank you very much. Moving on. Public comment. Chief Bell.
So, say we have metered posts on private property. Do you charge a monthly base rate for those, even if they're not being used? What's that base rate?
That's really $39 a month.
So $39 a month for a post that is privately owned, that's just standing there, that's not utilizing any power.
But all the infrastructure required for you to flip the switch right this second is there. If you choose, we can pull a meter out if you want. We don't charge you, but you have to pay that install later. If you can leave it empty for a year or two, it's worthwhile.
Okay, so if we have you guys pull the meters on those boxes, is that going to save money in the long run if we have spots that are just open?
Well, you have to sit down and do the arithmetic and figure out what the, I don't have in my mind if it's, you know, 12 months or 9 months, but there's a, you're going to go past that edge of the curve where it gets too cheap to leave it.
Because, I mean, I know you guys got infrastructure costs and I've just been kind of a sideliner on this. I haven't came to any of the meetings or anything, but it was just a, you know.
It is a more reasonable payback for the electrical because the hookup charge is nowhere near like a water hookup. The water hookup is kind of terrible, frankly. There's a situation like that where it's pushing $20,000 to buy into that system because we don't have much water out there. And you're pumping all 1,000 foot up the bluff, and then all the tank terminals we have built up there. So you have to buy into that, basically. We only have a certain amount of additional folks that we can put on that. Carson's not as bad, but still, it's not a wonderful situation. Electrical is much cheaper by comparison.
So it would probably be great if you just called the front office and asked them the cost factor, because at $39 a month, let's say, Dan, do you know how much the electric hookup is? I can't remember, but I think last year it was in the $300 to $500 range. So then figure out, you know, when are you going to use it? If it's been more than a year, it might be cost effective to give the meter back.
So if they're privately owned meters, right, can we pull those meters ourselves and not be charged that fee?
Privately owned meters.
They're like privately owned on private property meters on a post, like 30 amp to 50 amp. Meters.
Like
an RV.
Don't you have to give another meter headed up that gets the overall power?
No. They're all metered separately. Those meters.
I think you need to come in.
Because I think that what the problem is the person coming in to talk to you is not asking the right question. So, okay. Well, I'll get in touch with the office.
Because they can run all the numbers and tell you when the break even point is.
What you might want to do is put an overall CT meter on the way power comes in and then goes out from there. Then you pay your bill off of that, and we don't care what's happening down the line.
Okay. Okay.
Come talk to them.
Okay. Yeah. Because they had asked the commissioners before, and nobody was willing to come up with any kind of a solution, but I think it's maybe they weren't asking the right question. So, okay. Thank you.
Did the right question.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments? None. We'll move on. Thanks for that, Chief. Move on. Council member comments.
Where's our microphone? That's not really
somebody,
our
thing. Somebody stole the speakers.
No.
No, we took them down the thing. We got to put them back. We got to
put them back. I'm like, see what happens when I'm gone?
No.
I would like to thank everybody for coming. I'd like to thank PUD for coming. I really appreciate it. And to clarify it for the people of the city of North Bonneville and have it on a record that they frequently attend and can listen to and whatnot. And I got your guys' cards, so I can hand out other information as well. And they clarified on a lot of the hearsay. And, you know, when I said shady stuff, we're used to a lot of administration being shaken up, pointing fingers at which one. But recently we found another one, and it's just, it's too easy. It's too common, and that's the sad part. So I do apologize for insinuating that, but it's easily done with government and commissions, freaking council members. I've seen it all in the last 5 years I've lived here, and that's a sad thing. But yeah, to have closed door deals and back alley handshakes, it's common. I've seen it. So when I hear something, I take it for its words, but then I go to the source. And yeah, I probably should have talked to you guys first, but I didn't. And that's why I'm voted in, is because I don't mind stirring the pot. And I do apologize, but I don't mind stirring the pot. I don't mind creating havoc. I don't mind figuring out and getting down to the bottom, no matter how dirty my hands and elbows get. And Terry knows. It's one reason why I got involved in city council, was because it was getting ridiculous. But none of the fact of the matter, you guys were very polite to me. You guys answered all my questions. And I suggest anybody in the community or in any part of the county to approach you guys. You guys are very approachable. What people were telling me about you guys wasn't true. You guys are approachable. You're willing to answer the questions. You're willing to look up the answer and willing to get to me on those questions, which is great. So with that being said, there's a lot of people that work for other companies and then get a company, and yeah, they make the deal. They don't expect nothing. Sometimes they get a kickback. And when I heard that you'd worked for the previous company, I automatically thought, well, you know, transparency, perception, you know, is there, I didn't insinuate that you did, but it just leaves it open for people to insinuate that there could be.
As I pointed out to you, I also worked for Intel Solo.
Yeah, like you said, the computer. Yeah, and we had a good chuckle over it.
This computer should go away because I make money off that. I tried to build a factory,
the
ship was made.
Yeah, we made a good joke about it. You guys are a great bunch of guys and gals. And, you know, and so, absolutely, I feel that I can come to you with any one of my questions.
I hope you will.
And I will. Please do. Absolutely. You know, because you guys made me feel welcome, to where everybody's like, oh, good luck. And, you know, it was like, okay. So I went in there not knowing what to expect. And sure enough, you guys were open arms, willing to take my questions, you know, set aside a little part of your meeting towards the end to go over the whole rigmarole that I had. You know, and I really appreciate that. So thank you.
Thanks, Travis, for stirring the pot. We need to keep people accountable. Thanks, PUD, for showing up.
Yeah, no, thank you for showing up in
both sides.
Yeah.
I'm a conspiracy theorist. And
come back to Aaron.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. That's what keeps us honest, I think, you know, and upright. And thanks.
Any other comments? Hang on, we'll move on. Mayor's comments. I just want to tell everybody that I gave it. So we're this year. I don't know if any of you are feeling the same, but our revenue is way down for this point of the fiscal year from last year. We're down by 40% than we were at this time. Now we're only into 2 months. But usually January and February is good. I put a thing here for everybody to look at. January and February is usually not that good. We don't really start getting our revenues in until March. But January and February were atrocious compared to what it was last year. And when you run a little budget. So I want to bring in everybody's attention, because I talked to all the heads of all the departments here, and we're just going to put a real spending freeze on right now, because this is kind of frightening. I want you to know. And I think it has a lot to do with this virus. People aren't traveling. We're not getting the gas taxes we get. Gas prices are going down. That'll hurt the gas taxes that we get. The retail tax stuff, we're not getting that. And again, we're only in 2 months, but this is a good temperature of what might be to come, because these are slow months, and if it's going to be this bad, so I'm just letting everybody know we're keeping our finger on the pulse of this, but it might be a kind of a tough year for everybody. With that said, that's all, and thank you for everybody for coming. We appreciate it.
And I think it's very important that we're accurate when we, especially officials, we're going to be cautious, because we can be in the same position that everybody else is if we're not careful enough. So I agree. And thank you for coming. Deanna, would you like to say something?
Yeah, speaking of not spending money, we have somebody named Ms. Bench because two years ago his name went to 7, which is no longer even updatable. And so we've been researching solutions to that, and our server is also very cool. Our pseudo server, as we call it. So we could probably skip the server upgrade, but the Windows upgrade is very necessary and possible. We also already didn't really get a deal on an updated utility software, because as you know, we're quite a stickler on several locations. And with the server comes the MCL license, which is a little more money. We were going to upgrade some of our computer towers, but obviously it's not a good time. So we're trying to go in phases, and phase one is definitely Windows upgrade. Phase 2 is your server upgrade, and SQL. And then there's a migration fee of $500 with our municipal accounting software that also has to be tied in. So altogether, if we did it all at once, it would be $10,589, which compared to all the other quotes we had from Luco, Radcom, Solutions, yes, it's nearly half of what they have quoted. So Phoenix Technologies, the EDC now uses them, and they're quoting nothing but good things. Their costs seem pretty great. Their hourly is a lot less. So if we were going to go with Shell, which I'll be bringing from him if I am for the next meeting, but can we decide what we want to do with based on our money situation? If we were going to go with just the Windows upgrade, it would be $465 or $93 a station. And $465 I think is doable. And it's necessary because our security is at risk with Windows 7, since it's still not safe. If we did do the server, that's the $5,866, we'd get a refurbished one, plus we make that one decision. And then, of course, there's, we do want them to take over our tech services from Radcom, so it would be an addition to what we're spending. It'd be less than what we're spending with Radcom to make our IT people monthly. So I can, if there's some numbers in front of you there, definitely look at Phoenix Technology is what's the one I'm excited to go with, for sure. On all fronts.
It's the cheapest.
Yeah, she was in
the service so far.
Really nice. I mean, they're quick to get back to you, but they've been around for quite some time. And they have the most thorough presentation. I have a binder of things I can use about our network and our system that nobody else gave to me. They were just telling me about it. But they gave me a binder that pretty much lays out everything we have, all our systems. What's wrong, what needs to be, what's good, and it's fine. So really detailed, I really liked it a lot. So there, my decision, now we just have to bet on the money and the necessity. Windows is a necessity for sure. So we should definitely discuss waiting for the other pieces until we get our merch payment. Hopefully it pushes us right back up to being on par.
Budget,
May.
Not March.
May.
Okay.
It is March.
It is March, yes, it is. Thank you for that. Ken, would you like to say something?
Sure. The PDA has hired an attorney, so I think if you could give me an update on the PDA, somebody's going to put something on the agenda.
I'm not or sure.
Maybe not, maybe that would be pulled from the agenda.
Yeah, I was going to.
I know that.
Well,
however
you want to handle it, Mayor. Secondly, Liz brought up the minutes. And just so you understand, I think we've had this discussion in the past, but all that's legally required is action. So that your any votes that are being taken is properly recorded and reflected in the minutes, which come before you, as you know, at every meeting for your approval. Whenever you want some more specificity or detail in those minutes, it's entirely up to the council's choice beyond the minimum of action items.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you understand that, and if you want to have more specificity, you know, look at, read your minutes every time, every meeting, and you can add stuff or subtract stuff. It's completely up to you guys.
We did go basic action minutes for a little bit there, and then they had data that they wanted a little bit more detail.
This council over the years has gone back and forth about specificity. There's been years and councils that have wanted a lot of detail, and then it backs down, and they add more detail, it backs down, it just kind of goes in waves. All I'm looking for is making sure you have that statutory minimum of action.
Mm-hmm.
So that's up to you guys.
I thought at one point in time we had on here though as well that says the full audio for
You used to say it on the top.
You
do have to have legally have to have written minutes, which you have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good for transparency's sake to be able to reference the full audio. I like that very much. I like that you do that, and it's also very easy to access for most people who have technology. So That's my 2 cents about minutes, and you can take my service coat and my cold dead fingers.
I'm
a Mac guy myself. So.
Well, thank you for that, Jen. Thank you for that. We'll be moving on forward. Okay. So we were going to talk about the PDA's SORN update, and as Josh came in, I've been on the agenda, and as Josh came in and we were talking about, there's really not much to report right now because we've gotten into a little bit of a, there's been an issue with getting you into certain programs and whatever, so
that's been
resolved.
And I know that they've been going through an audit with the LTD,
yep.
Which has been pretty involved to the board.
So very well.
With that behind us, and with that this week, and start providing reports.
And Josh, will you know a little bit more about access, and you want to talk to me about it? I think we ought to get back in touch with LGB and just kind of let them know what's going on. I mean, I know you've made your application for the receivership, but mm-hmm. I like to keep those guys.
Yeah, and I think they reached out and said they've gotten everything.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I know Jermaine wants to.
That's okay. As a member of the board, I can speak to probably more details of what's going on. So the audit is wrapped up today. They had to come back for some things, and we won't have a report probably for 30 or more days. That's been on time to take some, but the doors are still open, so that's good news. And they were very willing to work with us and give us suggestions and help us along the way. So that was a good thing. I also wanted to clarify. I think there's also some issues with roles of responsibility. You know, I remember this was first brought up with having Josh be the go-between between PDA and City Council. Whenever you have triangular communication, we're kind of probably setting ourselves up sometimes for issues. And so if there's going to be financial reports put out, it would probably be nice to have the board be able to look at them first before they're published. As a member of the PDA, my name is on the list, and so I feel like I definitely have a need to know what's being reported on behalf of the PDA. So, I think there's some things we need to clarify when it comes to that.
Just to clarify with you, Jermaine, the council, and Ken knows the statute better than I do, the council has, and in our ordinance, at any point in time, any day, any time, this council wants, they can go in and audit your books, get any information they want. They have that authority.
Sure.
And No, I agree. And I'm not saying that. And as far as the triangular thing, Josh is representing, as Ken said, he's been put forward as our receiver for this. And
private?
Pardon me?
Has that been decided? That we are?
Whose application is with the LCP?
And well, I mean, have we decided?
Well, here's what's going to make the decision, is if the numbers are coming in to this council and we can review them and see that it's going in the right direction, then it wouldn't have to go to receivership. But if Josh can't bring us those numbers and that report...
It's just that I think I would feel more comfortable because I reviewed a couple of things that were initially done that needed to be redone several times, and I would just feel more comfortable if the board had a chance to glance over things before they get published.
Okay. Well, and the board has that... I mean, you can look at it or you come to the thing, but...
So I've done a couple of reports for the PDA, which I then also brought in front of the council. But in terms of like January reporting and February reporting, I haven't delivered those reports yet. So a lot of it was just to hear what the state of affairs before the new board was in. Here's some recommendations that the board could undertake, some of which they have. So I definitely agree with Jermaine that I think we can all get on the same page as far as a communication strategy and communication plan. That way, everyone's comfortable.
Can I make a point?
Please do.
I want to, first of all, recognize the contribution of
yes.
PDA members,
absolutely.
Board members to this common goal of trying to
yes.
restore this organization so that it can be operated
yeah.
properly. We all want that.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping that goal in mind is yeah. very, very important. But I think you have to understand that part of the problem, why this all fell apart in the first place, and you do understand, I know you do, why this all fell apart was that there wasn't good communication with the council.
Understood.
And they have a very important oversight requirements. In fact, I recently went through the PDA, the auditor's findings for public development authorities throughout the state. And one of the things the auditor and attorney general pointed out is there's insufficient oversight by the organizing agencies. And that is critically important for the success of PDAs. So, that said, how you arrange to make sure that information gets to this council frequently and thoroughly,
yeah.
I think is very, very important.
Okay.
Now, you need to work things out with Josh about the best way to do that. But Josh is, even if he's not ultimately going to be the receiver for the PDA, which obviously we don't want to have to do if we don't,
right.
you know, if we don't have to,
mm-hmm.
he still is a very important liaison to the council. And so it is, it scares these guys, I mean, I don't know if you've heard a lot about it, it scares the mayor, I know, to hear there's an issue about communication. That is a very, and for good reason, because for, you know, 6 years or whatever it's been, it's gotten worse and worse and worse, that level of communication.
Sure.
So that needs to stay completely available
and transparent.
I think it's asking for transparency with what's getting reported because of the level of responsibility it is to be on the license. And we understand that this is important. We all want the same goal of making the same possible, making decisions based on data, looking at, you know, forward paths and how we can get things from the change. I guess all I'm really asking for is a little bit of transparency to make sure that we're in the loop on whatever's getting reported.
Okay, that's fair. So what's a good way that you guys can make sure that these guys are kept up to date and abreast of, you know, reality of what's happening there? What's the best way would you recommend?
I think transparency in terms of whatever Josh is preparing.
So what if whatever Josh brings to us, he sends you a copy of?
Right. We need to be, I want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Okay.
I mean, I think that the devil might be in the details, but you guys are going to have a lawyer.
Of course, yeah. And we're also going to have an accountant.
Okay,
We're going to have our own, so I feel like with this, we end up with, one of my concerns is that we end up with two different reports that have different numbers for the same goal, right?
That's
so we have our own accountant, we're doing our own reports, and now we have different reports. And we're paying a lot of money for these reports, right? And so I just feel like we need to come together on who owns what parts of what, and that we're not going to have conflicting data and numbers
Well, this council asked Josh to be the receiver to kind of look into this and make sure that we're getting the right information, because no matter how many times we ask for specific information from the PDA prior, with their attorney here just shoving lies down our throats is unacceptable. I know. And so I want to take this body and move forward and grow with it. If communication is an issue, fine. But whatever Josh brings to us, I trust Josh that that's going to be his honest opinion, his honest recommendation, and the numbers don't lie. Numbers are numbers. They don't lie. People lie. Written.
People can come up with all different reports with different systems, and they can have conflicting. I have it at my current corporation where, depending on which system you grab it and how you summarize it, you have conflicting data. So I think we need to...
2 plus 2 is 4.
No, that's not. Because we have multiple systems.
Male was female. 2 plus 2 is 4. It's bottom line. It's cut and dry. Black and white. There's no gray area. Because that's what got this PDA in the such a big issue prior, is the gray area. And that's where they all went to.
And Travis, I think there is a solid commitment on that.
No, and I believe there is on the PDA. Absolutely.
The numbers right. And Jermaine is right. You can slice the dice data however you want. And I think that was a part of the big issue.
Exactly.
That
okay.
In the first place. So I understand that from like a very 2 plus 3 equals 4, that's true, but how do you get 2 into the system? You can slice it a lot of different
ways. As long as it's not Common Core, we're good.
Let me say this, Jermaine, so you know, this has been frustrating and very frustrating for all of us. I mean, we've worked on this for years trying to get this. So we're a little gun-shy right now, and we appreciate that. But I go to every one of your meetings, and the PDA is, that store is in a lot of financial trouble.
It is.
And that is concerning. That's why I talk to council. It's on the verge of... We have to know, because if that thing slides back any farther, we get any farther in debt there, it needs to go to receivership.
I think we're in violent agreement. But what I'm trying to say is, we have an...
But we have to have the numbers on a regular basis. I mean, we need numbers to watch this on a monthly basis.
Yes. And we have an attorney, we're getting an accountant, and the attorney is going to be looking into all the loans, all the promissory notes, and all of it, putting all of that together. So part of my concern is that we're going to pay all this money to all these studies done, and then we're having duplicate efforts, right? And so let's coordinate and make sure that we're not duplicating efforts and paying shit tons of money for all these reports that we want, and then maybe they still have different results. So I guess I'm just a little concerned with that aspect.
The only thing about it is the new people coming on, the two new coming on, we only had one up until now, and that created a problem for you folks. Now you're bringing in two more. So that... There was a conflict with his reporting or something as I was listening at the meetings. Now you're going to have two more.
Right.
And then we're going to have him gather the information. Because this store is going to close. Council's already voted. It's going to close. Either going to close with in the black, or it's going to close real soon, because if it doesn't come out of the red, or if we don't see the numbers, it's got to go to receivership. It's going to go to the courts. And the council's already voted on, but that's already the way it's going to go. So it's really critical that the information comes into us so we can keep our finger on that pulse. And right now, as we haven't had any information for 2 weeks, and it's concerning.
Yep. We've had to have a chance to get something in place.
Understandable. But in the meantime, Josh could probably be getting us at least some of the information we need.
And Jermaine, I just want to say,
I appreciate
your passion in trying to achieve the goal that we all want as
yes, a city. You're doing an excellent job. And I just want to fill in the people that don't know. These people came into a board. They came into a mess that was years, and they worked really hard for nothing to do an audit that they could have shut the store down. But they all pitched in, and were at that store doing inventory at night so that the auditors were happy and moved on without shutting the store down, which would have been detrimental to the city, because the city wouldn't have gained anything out of it if it went away that way. So I appreciate everybody. And quite frankly, one of the gals can't be here tonight because she has a condition, and it flared up today. And I feel bad for these people. They're working hard. So we appreciate it. But we just don't...
That's what I'm asking for. Appreciate. I'm just asking for...
I know you're not... And I don't care what you're asking for. I'm telling you how I feel. So we appreciate... This board appreciates. We just need to get the information that we need. So we can keep a finger on the pulse.
I think we're in violent agreement.
Okay.
The how is
right. Yeah, fair enough. Anything else? Justin, anything?
Well,
Thank you, Jermaine.
I want to make a comment.
Yeah.
This has been a mess for a very long time.
Very long time.
And I think we have a couple of really competent people that are working on it. And we need to listen to them when they come back with a report and they have an issue. We all need to kind of just decompress and listen to what they have to say, because we're finally getting some good information.
Okay, good. I agree. Good job. Any other questions or any other comments? All right. Moving on. Was that public comment again? Or what?
No, that was
the PDA discussion. All right.
Unfinished business.
We'll move on to new business. Thank you for that. Excuse John. John had another meeting he had to attend to tonight. So, I want to make a motion.
I'll make a motion to excuse John Acton.
Thank you, Travis. Second. Thank you. Any comments, questions? We'll call for the vote. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for that. The last thing on the agenda is review and approval of IT proposal. You have it. Deanna talked to you about it. She's kind of pointed in the direction she wants to go. We can do it piecemeal. We're not going to be able to do it in one big chunk. We have to do it piecemeal. The main thing is to get we need to get out of Windows 7, because I keep getting those big things saying you can't upgrade anymore. So it's, we need to get that at least updated. So, yeah. So you're going to bring the next proposal to the council?
I'd like to get this first started with the Windows software upgrade piece, but he's a key technical chef, not have a contract per se, but he would write something out of that.
That Janet has to look at.
Mm-hmm. And then my hope on that would be that we estimated maybe $3 a station for 5 stations.
I think it's imperative if we need some kind of a contract, and it would need to go to Ken first before we approve anything. So I would suggest that we wait and you get that and have Ken approve it, so that it's, because the last one when you looked
at, you don't use
last one you looked at was a disaster. Yeah. So get that and we can get it all put together and at the next meeting. Is that fair enough?
We're prepared to approve about $500, and then
just
more time
with the
setup.
And it's through Phoenix Technologies. Yeah, get the paperwork done. Get in front of us.
Yeah.
Please.
Fair enough. Folks. Okay. With that said, we're going to move on. Closing public comments. Hearing none. Closing council comments.
I would like to thank everybody for coming. I appreciate it. We got a bigger turnout, especially the PDA, or not the PDA, the PUD.
And
the PDA and the PUD. Fire department. We got the fire department in here. It's a good meeting. We got a lot of clarification from the PUD, and that's what I was really looking for. And I appreciate it. And I do apologize for any misconceptions or misconstrusions, and I would love to redact any of that and replace it with the facts from the PUD. And some of the papers I saw that said the stuff that I was talking about had your letterhead on it. You know, so I don't... You can... Trust me, I've done it. You can Xerox it, photocopy it, turn around and change all the information on it. That didn't even change my mind. Or come into play in my mind for processing that information. So I did take it as face value, because it had your guys' logos on it, you know, your letterhead. They're saying this is from you guys, from the Public Records Act. They requested, yada, yada. So yes, it's easy to believe something like that when it comes up, you know, with your guys' letterhead on it. I mean, they said they... And I guess unless I go in there and request that same information and look at it, and which is one of the things I'm trying to do, is figure out the exact pages so I can request those exact pages and see if they made any changes.
I didn't look at them that closely. But, you know, you can take a page out of a 50... one page out of 6 pages for it and read it wrong. It interprets the information wrong. It's kind of like the numbers thing that you guys were talking about. It can be interpreted.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. No, and we're all in agreement here, you know, and I know Counselor Acton's got a few questions for you, and I really wish he would have been here. And he said he was going to show up to the PUD meeting with me last Monday, and I'm going to try getting a hold of him and see if he wants to go next Monday. Oh, Tuesday. Sorry, Tuesday. Yeah, no, and just I'm coming up with some more questions just that we can clarify, and that way I can let everybody know on my council meetings on what I'm finding out through you guys. You know, I wear plenty of hats around here, and I am thin. So if it takes me a meeting or two to get to you, don't hold it against me. But I do want to get the real answers. I want to talk to you guys. I want to chop this up and make sure that, because obviously I'm being told wrong. So, and you guys do, and I appreciate that back and forth and creating a dialogue with you guys, and I appreciate it.
Any comment? Xeroxing forms. My first drivers I saw made on a mimeograph machine.
I would say something, but I'm not going to, no, because we're on record.
Yeah, that's okay. That was a long time ago. Let me.
All right. Hearing no other. Any other? No other business. Meeting adjourned.